Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, it has been a whirlwind trip this last week. We have been, of course, with Wyatt up and down the East Coast and in Missouri as well. We have just been flying around, quite literally, rescuing dogs and rescuing people. So today we're going to be talking a little bit later to an incredible lady who is not only changing the lives of people, but changing the lives of their pets. And it's going to be a very interesting show. We've got a couple of questions in already from people who know what we're going to be talking about. So we can't wait to bring on our guest in the second segment today. Well, today I want to talk about what we've been doing, because we certainly have been doing a lot with Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals up and down the East Coast and also in the Midwest, not only changing the lives of dogs, but saving the lives of humans. First thing today, we have been down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Unfortunately, I didn't make it to the beach, nor did Wyatt. But we sure did make it to seeing some amazing firefighters and arson investigators who have been working and at their own risk, often to health and life, not only in that moment, but afterward, where we have been screening people for cancer and other health issues using the incredible nose and intellect of our dear, wonderful mascot, Mr. Wyatt Ridgeback. And by the way, if anybody who's listening would like to make sure you're friends with Wyatt, make sure you like him. It's Wyatt, W-Y-A-T-T, Ridgeback on Facebook. You can also show Wyatt you support him by reaching out to him on Merlin's Kids. And you can also support our work with training more people to save dogs and humans through UnitedCanineProfessionals.com. And Wyatt is right here right now wagging his big old tail saying, "Mommy, Mommy, please make sure you tell everybody what we did this week." And of course, my love, I shall tell everybody, Wyatt. First thing is, we were in Myrtle Beach working with these wonderful arson investigators and firefighters. These gentlemen and ladies not only put their life on the line for us in the time of the fire or in the time of the issue where we're having a fire or we're having some kind of a, you know, major issue, but they also, unfortunately, put their lives on the line after that, sometimes up to 10, 20 years later, because of the horrible things that these people have been faced to, in order to save us and the things we love and the people we love. They have been faced with personal health issues. So we had heard from an incredible lady named Cindy L., who founded Firefighter Cancer Foundation. And we have a very good friend of hers and mine on the line who will be joining us in a few minutes, who will be telling us not only how we can help save ourselves in an emergency with a fire or rescue situation, but also our pets. So this is going to be something that I think we're going to have these two wonderful ladies on as regulars on the show, because they just have so much amazing knowledge, and knowledge is power. And if knowledge is power, we are going to be a very powerful show, because we have amazing, amazing people. Well, let's go back to talking about what we're doing this week. So this past week, we were in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We then were in Charlotte, North Carolina, very briefly. Then we flew out to Kansas City, Missouri, because we just purchased, or in the process and under contract, for an amazing property out in Missouri where we're going to be able to not only rescue local dogs, but also help to train these dogs, not only to be service dogs for children with autism and other special needs, and some pretty amazing adults as well, but also to be able to train these dogs to be like Wyatt, where these dogs will actually find cancers, find health issues before they're even detectable by conventional means. Well, we've all heard about that, and we all know the story of Wyatt and how amazing he is at doing pretty much everything. But I wanted to let everyone in on kind of a fun little thing that happened to us on the way. Funny thing happened on the way to the forum. Well, this is a funny thing happened on the way home from wherever it was in Missouri we wound up. We were actually flying from Missouri to Philadelphia and Philadelphia to Newark Airport. Well, as we were flying, we figured out that we were on one of these little puddle jumpers. Well, these little puddle jumper airplanes are uncomfortable enough and scary enough if you're one single human. But add a 101-pound service dog who is not allowed to sit in the exit row of the bulkhead because it's an exit row, and a service dog or a person who needs a service dog apparently is inherently unhealthy, unable to be able to help other people in the case of an emergency. So, long story short, Wyatt and I walked into this very crazy airplane that was, it had so many letters on this terminal, prefixes and suffixes and superscripts and subscripts, that we got a little bit nervous when I looked at the ticket and it looked like a lottery number or some kind of a code that you would have to get into some kind of a safety deposit box or vault. Well, we were looking at this plane, and this was a little plane. I think there were 14 people on it. Now, not that that's the smallest plane I've ever been on, because we had a very good friend who used to fly us all around the Caribbean to hundreds of different locations, but I've never flown in a puddle jumper with a 101-pound service dog before. Well, it was kind of cute when the entire plane, of course, we were all in a 6-foot radius because it was such a small plane, started to chuckle as the very nice young male flight attendant managed to say to me, I'm sorry, ma'am, but your dog is going to have to fit under the seat. Now, anybody's ever been in a regular airplane, let alone in one of these little tiny turboprops that has 14 seats, knows that there's no way to stuff a 101-pound dog under a seat. You can barely stuff a 101-pound dog into the bulkhead on a, you know, a big airplane, but you're certainly not going to be able to do that on a little tiny puddle jumper. So Wyatt, of course, as Wyatt always does, managed after getting on the shuttle and the bus and the little cart that drags you from point A to point B if you need assistance. And I have pictures of all of that on Facebook if anybody wants to look at our Facebook pages. Well, we get to this, of course, very tiny little airplane, and lo and behold, what do we see? We see a 101-pound Rhodesian Ridgeback manage to squeeze himself underneath the seat that I could not put my little Louis Vuitton bag under. But Wyatt stuffed himself under there. So although Wyatt is not a shelter dog, he certainly is an amazing service dog, one who is not only brightening up the lives of children, but also making a lot of smiles with some of the adults and snuggling in and making a lot of adults feel pretty comfortable about that little crazy flight. Well, we are going to return with one of Wyatt's good friends, Miss Janae Bowen, who is a really awesome lady that she's going to be teaching us about first aid and helping your pet, not only dogs and not only cats, but some pretty crazy pets, in the case of an emergency. So definitely stay tuned, because this is going to be one heck of a show on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Yeah. NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, I let everybody in on the secret of who our guest was today, and she is an amazing lady. Wyatt actually would like to marry her daughter. Who is a very adorable little dachshund named Chloe. And Wyatt and Chloe were very, very cute laying together on the bed and laying together next to in the restaurants. It was a very cute time. And we want to welcome Miss Janae Bowen to the show. Janae, welcome.
Thank you, Janice, for having me.
Oh, you are so welcome. We had a lot of fun last week. Janae was actually on the beginning of the whirlwind with me, and they had some other things going on. But today, we wanted Janae to help to kind of teach all of us what we can do and how we can help our animals, our pets, in case of emergency. We all have these horrible fears of, you know, what do I do? If something happens to my dog, if we're in a fire and my dog or my cat or my pet faces the same fate as I do with smoke inhalation or with maybe, God forbid, getting a burn, how do we handle that? Well, Janae is hopefully going to give us some great insight on that. And Janae, I have a question that's been kind of bothering me for a while about why do they not have the same apparatus and the same equipment for our pets that they do for us? Or am I wrong, since I know a little bit more than I'm letting on? What can we do for our pets in an emergency?
Well, they do have apparatus. It's not built the same exactly as it is for the animals versus the humans, but they do have it. It's just, it's the first responders, as you were talking about earlier, our firefighters and our other types of first responders are not trained on dealing with animals, and they don't carry the tools necessary on board the vehicles to be able to save our animals' lives. And that's one of the reasons why I'm helping to make a change in that and make a difference.
Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about, now that you whetted our appetite, what exactly are you doing to help for us to have equipment on, you know, I guess the first responders' vehicles and fire engines and paramedics? What kind of stuff is there out there that maybe our viewers, our listeners can help us to get out there more?
Absolutely. Thank you, Janice. Basically, in the past, because of the love for animals and because of so many people loving animals, there have been donations, and people have privately bought the pet rescue oxygen masks for different first responder units and vehicles and given them to them so that they can use them to save lives. The only thing is because, you know, they're having to raise funds, sometimes it's not happening. And then the other thing that I've seen is that, you know, the first responders are getting the tools, but they don't have the training, and that's where, you know, I have come in. I recently also working with Project Breathe. And Project Breathe, it was started in 2007 to basically make sure that we are able to fund these masks for our first responders, and that way they don't have to pay for them. They can get them for free. All they have to do is request the number that they need for their first line engines, and then that way they can get them. And then by me being a part of that, I'm also getting them the training that they need to be able to save our animals' lives in the event of an emergency or a fire or a car accident or anything where an animal might be involved and a first responder may be on the scene.
Wow, that's awesome. So what kind of equipment and what kind of animals can this equipment, you know, help and service?
That's what's amazing is the oxygen masks are made in multiple sizes, so they can be used on multiple types of animals, anything from a pocket pet to a livestock. And that is why it's so amazing, because it's not just for dogs or just for cats. There's other animals that can benefit from these masks and from this training as well. And that way, anyone that has a pet of any kind that they love and care for, they can know that there is a way of helping to save and resuscitate those animals.
Wow, that's amazing. So what you're saying is you could even use these on, let's say, like a horse?
You use them on a horse. They can be used on a hamster. They can be used on a rabbit. Absolutely. And that's what's so amazing about these masks is by having the masks, they can use them on multiple animals to make a difference. And you know, it's just the likelihood of a first responder having to deal with an animal emergency is very high because of the fact that so many people own animals of some form. And obviously the most common are going to be our cats and dogs, but there's a lot of other types of animals out there as well. And some people have multi-animal homes where they have, you know, obviously different types of animals. And so we want to make sure that they are able to, you know, help whatever pet they may have.
Wow, that's really amazing. So you can go from horses to hamsters. That's a pretty, pretty nice range there. So Janae, what kind of training, if let's say somebody here who's listening today might have a family member who's a first responder or a firefighter or, you know, paramedic or doctor or nurse, how would they go about getting in touch with you so that you could show them how to not only get the free masks, but also to help train them?
Yes, thank you. Well, basically, what I'm doing is I'm offering the training. My program is called Dog E, like emergency, 911, because basically there is no pet 911, and that's one of the reasons why that's why I called it that. Dog E 911, all pet emergency training. And they can find me on the web. It's really easy. It's just www.dog.e for emergency 911.com. They can like us on Facebook, and they can contact me directly about getting the training. And we do it from basically a course for our first responders, who obviously would be dealing with assessment and specific critical care in the field that they may encounter, whether it be a disaster or a fire or a car accident, like I talked before, basically any type of emergency situation. But I also offer it to animal owners and businesses, animal workers like kennels, you know, animal daycares that want to be able to help more of care for the animals that they're taking care of. And also to even just our pet owners that want to be a better pet owner and take better care of their animal and be able to assess things more and maybe give their vet more information and just kind of work better together with their vet. And then I also work with kids. I mean, that's one of the other things I do is I help educate our youth that basically want to work with animals in their future and give them a good broad base to build on and strengthen from. So they basically would contact me directly, and I work across the country to just help educate and make a difference for our animal companions.
Wow, that's awesome. Can you stay with us for our next segment? Because I've got a lot more questions.
All right.
Stay tuned for the next segment of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. We're going to save your pets today, folks.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust, mites, and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's pawsandsilk.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
Well, welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf and Wyatt, who is whining in the background because Wyatt wants to have his friend Janae Bowen talk more about how to save his little buddies, especially his little friend Chloe. Welcome back to the show, Janae. I've got a million questions for you.
Thank you for having me, Janice.
You're so welcome. Well, I wanted you to tell us, give us a couple of different situations that your training and that the masks and all have been able to save pets, like specific situations. Because we talk about shelter dogs becoming service dogs, and it sounds like you're going to be helping us to have more shelter dogs, service dogs, and just pets actually being alive because of your help. This is fascinating. Give us the most fascinating case that you've ever had.
Well, I had a firefighter, and actually just recently send me a photograph of a vehicle that was turned over in a car accident and was destroyed. But because he wanted to show me the photograph because of the fact that there was a crate inside that the animal was in. It was a hard crate, and the animal was safe because it was properly restrained inside the vehicle. And so, I enjoyed him sending me the photo. I enjoyed him talking about what he'd learned and the way that he responded on the scene. And I that's part of what I teach as well is dealing with car accidents, but also proper restraint and stuff like that to the public so that they are educated as well. And I think that shows right there, of how we can, make a difference with our animals, knowing ways to take care of them, and then ways of our first responders to, basically deal with the situation when it happens. Other things that, I've dealt with myself and seen is I've had people that have taken the training after the fact and have maybe saved their animal from drowning and been able to know how to do the CPR properly, be able to save the animal's life, because obviously the time is of essence, and also knowing how to use proper techniques also is going to make a difference. And even just recently at the training I just did in South Carolina, talking to the firefighters about how to deal with an animal. Maybe it's not an animal that's having the emergency. Maybe it's the person that's having the emergency, but the first responder is not able to get to help the person because the animal is basically protecting and guarding. And by teaching them the information about how to handle animals and dealing with behavior issues and dealing with restraint issues, it's going to help them to basically help the animal, keep them safe, keep themselves safe, and then deal with the medical emergency that they have at hand.
Wow. Well, that's something that people, I don't think, really think about too often, the fact that they might have a situation with their own health and life, and that they're not able to have first responders come in. Actually, United Canine Professionals, we have a whole different scenario about that when we teach people to make sure that their dogs are comfortable, first of all, in a crate in case they ever need to be restrained, or with a muzzle in case a veterinarian who may not know the dog and may not want to take care of that dog in an emergency. And then here you are, your dog isn't going to be treated. So I think that kind of runs pretty deep with making sure that dogs are used to the first responders and that the first responders are used to the dog. I know personally, you know, from experience that I had that with Wyatt once, where, you know, Wyatt was attacked by a large, one of those dogs, I won't mention the breed, but the ones that everybody hears about, and he was attacked very severely. And fortunately, my veterinarian knew him and would work on him, but really anybody else in the world, I mean, this dog had several hundred bites on him. And, you know, he's fine now. He's, you know, doing great. But fortunately, it was my veterinarian who knew how good Wyatt is and didn't respond by saying, hey, I'm not working on your dog who's in shock unless we knock him out. So it is important to have that, your pet having the ability to be, not that you're going to lock him away, but to have that ability where the pet at least knows that he's not going to have, you know, he's not, nobody's going to kill him and the aliens aren't going to come and murder him if he goes into a crate while he's getting a medical procedure. And also the same thing with the muzzle. So what other things are there besides that, Janae, that we can do, you know, to keep our dogs safe?
Well, the things that I basically teach on are, you know, there's kind of, you know, my program includes prevention care, which I think is very important. I mean, that's, I think preventing things is going to obviously be much better than dealing with the stuff after the fact. So I teach a lot on preventative care, and I also promote holistic care and talk about things that we can do. Animal massage, animals that are aging, things to help with seizures, all of those type things is part of what my program covers. And then the triage first aid portion of it, basically, you know, I think it's important that we understand the human-animal bond, and that's one of the things I teach our first responders, because I think that they understand it because a lot of them have animals, but I think that it goes much deeper than that because of the fact of disasters and people don't want to leave their animals behind. And now, because of the laws that have changed since Hurricane Katrina, and that's one of the reasons why I started my program, there are different laws, and there are things that they need to be aware of, and there are things the public needs to be aware of. So I try to really promote, you know, teaching the human-animal bond, making sure that people understand that, and then what are the laws that have changed and how they work within each state, how our animal rescue resources are used within our FEMA and our incident command system, and how those go together, and that our first responders can understand because it's something they're already dealing with, and then how to educate our public on preparedness for a disaster and having the things together that they need to be able to take care of their own animals as well. And then, you know, learning the first aid, learning the things that you can do to help from something minor to dealing with a time-sensitive issue where you're going to need to triage now at home until you get to the vet, especially if we have someone, like right now I'm visiting my parents, which are in North Carolina, on the tail end of this trip, and I am going to be going to speak with some fire departments in the North Carolina region tomorrow before I head back to California, and there are my parents live about 45 miles from the vet. And so if their animal gets, has some type of an emergency, they've got a long ways of a drive. And so they need to be able to have some type of triage training, emergency training, so that they can help possibly save that animal's life until they get them to the vet.
Wow, that is really opening up a whole new conversation. I'm hoping you'll be able to stay with us because I really want to ask you some specifics. And I'm going to also invite our listeners to text message or to email in to Kyle at UnitedK9Professionals.com. You can email in right now and she will forward me the questions because I've got a couple and I'm sure our listeners have more than a couple because there's a whole bunch of you. So what we're going to do is we're going to ask Janae Bowen to stay with us and we're going to ask her some good, tough questions about what do we do to save our dog until it gets to the vet, because that is certainly something that all of us listening are concerned about. So, Janae, please stay with us, and
okay.
We will return. I'm so happy. I love having you on the show. And we will return in a minute with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Do not go away.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And we have Janae Bowen from Dog E911, who is kind enough to be on our show today. This is some pretty important stuff, folks. And I want to ask it on the last segment, because I'm already assuming you're going to stay till the end. I have some questions that are more relevant to shelter dogs. But right now, let's talk about our pets. Janae, what do you do when you have a dog who, let's say, is bleeding, maybe bleeding from a bad cut on its paw or on its leg? How would you, handle that particular situation, like kind of the 1, 2, 3 generalities until you can get to the vet?
Well, with a bleeding animal, it is important to try to stop the bleeding, obviously, because we don't want the animal going into shock. So I teach a thing called, kind of a head-to-tail assessment that kind of helps you to look for issues that's going on with the animal to try to tell kind of what is going on and what is causing the reaction to the animal. But with a bleeding specifically, you definitely need to stop the bleeding. So you need to apply pressure. If the bleeding is not clotting, then that can obviously signify a poisonous bite wound, like a snake bite. But if the bleeding is stopping by applying firm pressure and continuing to apply pressure, you can wrap the wound And with animals, you have to use a tape. It's called vet wrap. It's called Coflex tape also. And it doesn't, it clings to itself, so it doesn't actually stick to the fur. And then you can use that to wrap. If you have a spurting blood where it's continuing to flow and it's spurting, you're going to also need to actually do a pinch off. And with that, you're going to apply direct pressure to the wound, but you're also going to go ahead and apply kind of a pinch off pressure above the wound as well on the bleeding side. And then there are pressure points on the body that can also be applied pressure directly in directly in onto the wound side that will basically cut off the blood flow to the limb to shut down that blood flow if it's a major injury. Let's say it's a car accident or a very bad dog fight or something like that. Now that's where, you know, we could have the loss of a limb, but it's more important to get that animal stop bleeding. And so sometimes, you know, it's something that's necessary to do.
Wow. Okay. So that was a bleeding dog, which we hope we don't have, although I've certainly faced that. And I think a lot of people have had, you know, where their dog gets a wound on the paw or something, and we try to fix it. Does it matter if you elevate it, assuming that the dog is cooperative? Would you want to elevate the wound, like put the dog's
yes.
paw up in the air?
You would. You would elevate as long as you're not suspecting a broken back or neck injury. You can elevate it. And you know, I talk about how to look for, you know, broken back and neck injuries as well. And you can apply a tourniquet if necessary. In the animal world, we recommend not doing tourniquets unless it's a really, really last resort. You'll want to do your pressure points instead, and those are things that, like I said, are a major bleeding wound that are you know, will cut off the blood flow to the limb or to the head. But, you know, again, that would be something that's a major car accident, something that would be a definite emergency that you would need to do something until you actually you got to the vet. And obviously at that point, too, the animal may lose consciousness. You may have to perform CPR and give rescue breathing for that animal as well. And that's the reason why I cover that. You know, even without the mask, I teach that to, I teach the first responders both mouth to snout and how to use the mask properly, because they may be off duty when they're actually rescuing an animal. But also our animal owners and other people that want to clean it, I'm teaching them the mouth to snout, because if you have to use it, I want you to be able to know and understand how it works and how to basically do it so that if you have to, you know.
Okay, wow. We have a question from a listener, Roger in Michigan, who asks, he has a dog who apparently has seizures. He wants to know what would be the best way to keep his dog safe and keep his family safe when his dog, he has a Rottweiler that has a seizure mm-hmm. disorder. What is the best thing for him to do to keep his, he has two small children, well, relatively small, and also has this large Rottweiler with a seizure disorder. What should Roger be doing when he believes that the dog is having a seizure?
Well, I love this question, because seizures are, when I cover seizures, I talk about traditional medicine and holistic medicine, because it's a great example of using both. With seizures, you can a lot of times tell when they're coming on, because the animal will seem kind of dazed or confused. And seizures with animals are always what you think of as a grand mal seizure. It could be the animal just falls over. It could be kind of a mild twitching. They could just stiffen the body. They sometimes will do things like bite at the air or kind of chew like they're chewing food, but they're not. They might even go to the bathroom, on themselves or drool. And they'll usually be very disoriented afterwards. The first thing I would say is not knowing the dog's history is knowing exactly why the dog is having seizures, because seizures can be coming on from multiple things. I mean, they can be caused by epilepsy, which is the most common cause, but they also could be from poisoning, they could be from infection, they could be from an inflammation of the brain, it could be from a tumor, things like organ failure or high or low blood sugar. So there's a lot of different reasons that cause seizures, so it's important to know why the seizures are coming on first. And then the best thing to do is during a seizure or before a seizure and even after is keep the animal calm and still. Keep them safe from hurting themselves. Don't let anyone obviously put their hand near the animal's mouth because of the types that I've talked about with the chewing seizures. And kind of massage them lightly and kind of talk to them in a soothing tone. Also, I think it's really important to record the length of the seizure, because seizures that are multiple or that are occurring longer than 2 minutes are considered an emergency. And so that's important to know as well. And there are a couple of acupressure points which are really wonderful that really help to kind of calm the seizure and make the seizure less active. So one of them is the ears are the most wonderful thing that you can do working with an animal with seizures. You basically massage and do pressure points with the ears. There's just a lot of points there that are really wonderful and basically kind of calm down the seizure. But there's two specifically that are right kind of in where the head meets the body wall, and you basically kind of tuck your finger kind of partly in the ear and partly underneath that little soft groove underneath the ear, and you kind of squeeze and massage that area. And those, when you deal with that, when an animal that's having seizures, or even an animal that's like you notice the seizures coming on, if you start to do that, sometimes you can actually calm the seizure down, or even stop the seizure in its track because of the way that the acupressure works within kind of helping to kind of regulate the organs. And so those are just some things that I can share with him without knowing his personal history. Those are some things that I would share.
Awesome. All right. Well, I want to just remind everybody that you can contact Janae also if you contact us at unitedcanineprofessionals.com or merlinskids.org. And we are going to hopefully be able to ask Janae to help us in the future, perhaps at some of our conferences. So definitely stay tuned, because we're going to have more amazing stuff with Janae Bowen from Shelter Dogs, the service dog. Don't go away.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
Well, welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf and, of course, Wyatt. And today, our wonderful guest who may help to save the lives of some of the viewers and listeners' dogs here today on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Janae, welcome back.
Thank you, Janice, for having me again.
Well, we are going to be having you hopefully on a more regular basis, because the things you're teaching us are not only entertaining, but they are educational. And we're all about saving lives. Everybody knows that From Shelter Dog to Service Dog is our story of Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals. And many of our people who have trained under our executive team of experts who have come from all different walks of life, but have all wound up loving animals and focusing their lives to devote to animals and saving them not only physically like you're doing, but saving them behaviorally like we're doing. Rescuing dogs from shelters and helping to teach people who are looking for a new career, helping others to rehabilitate their dog's behavioral issues. So, you know, sometimes we think about how to save a dog, and we think that, well, you know, if you can save one dog, which is certainly great because one dog is one life. And with Merlin's Kids, we all know that our motto is saving the world, two lives at a time, because we're saving the dog and we're saving a child. Well, now, how about if we have put in all of our time and we decide at Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals, and we decide that we're going to place this wonderful dog after it's been through an intensive training program, and now we put all that time, energy, money, and a lot of dedication of not only myself, but of our volunteers and our workers who are all over the United States. Well, how about if one of those dogs now faces an emergency? Imagine what Janae is going to be able to teach us. We have a little bit more that we want to talk about today before we say goodbye till next week. So one of the questions, and it's funny because we have a listener. Her name is Myra, M-I-R-A, but it's pronounced Myra, not Mira. Myra, and she's in Kansas City, Missouri, which is where I just came from. And apparently she met me when I was speaking at the Temple Grandin conference out there. But Myra said that she has a dog who it doesn't have like a regular issue, but it has kind of an intermittent situation where the dog vomits. And she doesn't think it's from being poisoned or anything, but she doesn't know. And apparently the dog, according to what she says, it can happen up to 3 or 4 times a week. Janae, what would that possibly be caused by? And take it from the beginning to the end. What could vomiting in a dog be caused by, and how would we try to help the dog?
Okay, that's a good point. Vomiting, most animal owners will have seen vomiting. They may not see some of these other things. And like I said, everything that I cover, whether it be for a child to a first responder, is going to be something that they might possibly use. And I hope they don't, but I want them to have the knowledge just in case. But vomiting is one of the things, like diarrhea, that we're probably going to see the most often in our animals. And causes for vomiting can be anything from poisoning, which, you know, obviously it's probably not that, because obviously she would have already known something that was going on at this time. It could be things like an infection. Vomiting can be caused from an animal's diet. It can be just an upset stomach, because animals get upset stomachs like we do. Sometimes it can be a foreign object that's stuck in the intestines. And it could even be caused from a pancreatitis issue, which is where there's an inflammation in the pancreas, or even a kidney disease. That is another issue that can cause it. And so that's why if it's something that's reoccurring like that, I would definitely recommend having someone, you know, having a vet professional look at that and maybe run some tests so that they can weed out some of the more serious things, like the kidney infection, the kidney diseases, and the things like that.
Well, she says her dog is 8 years old, and it's pretty much been doing it. She's had it. She got it at 3 years of age. I'm just reading from her email. 3 years of age, she's had the dog about 5 years, and nearly the entire time the dog has vomited about 3 to 4 times a week. And I had asked her when we were actually out there, she said it doesn't vomit like 3 or 4 times in a day. It's always kind of around the same time of the day, but a few times a week. So I don't know if that's that may be a behavioral issue for United Canine Professionals.
And it may. I would say look to the diet, number one, and I would definitely, basically say something like maybe, increase the fiber in the diet and maybe do more of more fiber in the diet, which may help with some of the vomiting issues if it's not a health issue. But, something like that's happened for a long period of time, it kind of makes me question on what, other things are going on. And I would look maybe more towards the diet then.
Okay. And Myra, when I'm back out in Kansas City, I will definitely come and help you with that if we have behavioral issues. But I know I've heard, that's a common thing that I hear as well. And certainly stress can cause vomiting. So it could be something that happens, obviously, like periodically where the UPS man comes 3 days a week to the neighbor's house and the dog gets very stressed and winds up vomiting out of stress. But what happens if your dog has never had a problem and all of a sudden the dog just starts vomiting maybe 5 or 6 times and won't eat or drink or anything? Obviously, we want to get to a veterinarian, but if we're 45 minutes from a veterinarian, what should we do as pet owners to kind of make sure that our dog doesn't die on the way to the vet?
Yeah, the things like, if it's an issue where it's a foreign object stuck in the intestines, which a lot of times they'll be vomiting very violently during something like that. And I've actually had that happen to one of my animals. One of my little doxies actually ingested a piece of a toy, and it got stuck in the intestines, and she was vomiting very violently and had the object. I had to get her to the vet to have it checked to see if it was something that we had to be surgically removed. Instead, we were able to use the high fiber, like pumpkin, basically, to have her pass it. And she was able to pass the obstruction because it was not a large obstruction. But it was something that, obviously I did have to get her to the vet to see, but I had to keep her calm in the meantime and try to curb the vomiting. There is a pressure point, and I was also going to say this too, because bloat a lot of times, we'll have dogs with a large chest, or even our large breed dogs will get a bloat issue. They may have issues with the stomach and could be like a wrenching. It's not really vomiting. They're wrenching, but they're not producing anything, but they can't stop wrenching. And so things that you can do for that, you want to monitor your pet's vitals, and that's one of the reasons why I go back to the thing where I talked about earlier about knowing how to assess your animals basically from their head to their feet to their tail to their feathers, whatever kind of pet you may have, so that you can know what a normal animal is supposed to look like and be like. That way you can tell when something's wrong. And if you know how to monitor the vitals of the animal, you can keep track of the heart rate, the temperature, the pulse rate, the breathing rate, so that you can tell when something is going on. And for a vomiting, there's actually a pressure point too. There's actually a pressure point that falls right in between it kind of falls between the belly button and the lowest part of the rib cage. It's right dead center there, and you kind of press inward and upward. And it actually will help curb some of the vomiting and diarrhea. It's called middle cavity is the point. It's an acupressure point. And it kind of balances the stomach, and it basically helps the immune system and will aid in digestion and things and kind of curb the vomiting, which kind of can help you and, kind of ease the pet until you can get them to the vet to find out what exactly is going on, if it is something that is more serious.
Wow. Okay. Well, unfortunately, we are running out of time, but I definitely think I share in all the listeners' opinions and saying we definitely want Janae to come back in a future show, because there's just so much, and we all love our pets. We're going to have to say goodbye today, unfortunately, but everybody knows how you can reach us, UnitedK9Professionals.com or MerlinsKids.org. or you can call us at 855 Hi Wyatt. Yes, it's really 855 Hi Wyatt. And Janae, thank you so much for being on the show. We are definitely going to put you on in the future because we need our pets to be safe. So thank you and enjoy your trip back to California. I wish I were going with you.
Well, thank you so much, Janice. I appreciate the time. I appreciate being on. And please, anyone can contact me to find out more information at doge911.com.
Awesome. Doge911.com, people. Don't forget that. We'll see you next week on From Shelter Dogs to Service Dogs.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.